you hear the word love, whether it's in TV shows, you see The Bachelor, everybody's always looking for love, right? Songs, it's always talking about love, and I always thought Foreigner said it best when he said, I want to know what love is. So, whether it's in songs, movies, or you're always hearing the word love, and I feel like the world misuses the word love a lot. I mean, what I want to talk about to you this morning is God's love for us. What is love? It's a strong feeling of affection and concern toward another person, an intense feeling of deep emotion, affection. In John 3:16, I think we all know what it says. For God so loved the world that He gave His what? Only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us this morning, amen? And I believe that He sent His Son to save us from the coming judgment that will happen one day. That's why He sent His Son. He knew one day His Son would have to give His life for us. That's how much God loved us. It says in 1 John 4:19, we love Him because why? He first loved us. We all as Christians know what God... I'll have to get comfortable up here. I can't just stand behind a pulpit. So, I mean, I'm liable to get down here in the crowd and talk and stuff. I get real nervous when I'm just standing up here like this. I know Daniel can stand right here and do his thing, but me, I'm more like Randy when he starts getting out here toward the end of the stage. I mean, I'm more like that. So, if I get down here on the floor, don't hold it against me, okay? Amen. We all as Christians know what God's love is. There might be someone here that's lost this morning. I don't know, but I believe a lot of us here are Christians. I believe people that go to church most of the time are Christians. But what are we doing? I mean, like, do we know? You know, we know what it means to be saved. We know what it means to go get baptized or go to church. We know what it means to read your word or to pray. But what happens? This is what I want to really hit on this morning, the heart of it all. What happens when tragedy happens in your life? Brokenheartedness, loneliness, depression, sin. What happens to us as Christians? And I want to keep it focused on God's love, but I want us to look at a few other things this morning and see where we can get back to God's love. And this is actually, I know you don't want to hear this, but it's actually where my sermon begins. If you got your Bible today, let's open up to Mark 1, and he does have this on the board. Some scripture that I'll be using, he has. Some of it just real short, and you won't see it up there. Mark 1, I can get to it. I get my wife to print out this thing because I can't read my writing. So she prints out all this for me where I can actually read it. And I get her to do all the verses too where I ain't got to just go through and just, you know, it's taking so much time. But anyway, in Mark 1, I want to start with verse 9, if everybody's there. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want to stop right there for just a second. What was I saying a minute ago? I said, we know what it means to get saved. We know what it means to get baptized. You know, most of us do. And we see what happens to Jesus right here as John comes in and baptizes him. It's, you know, it says he got baptized. And it says right here in verse 12 is what I want us to look at. It says immediately. What does that word immediately mean to you? It means right now, right? I mean soon. I mean it's happening. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. It says immediately. What happened? He got baptized and immediately went in and got tempted by that just caught my eye. I was reading that one morning, and it caught my eye immediately. A lot of times as Christians, we get saved, or we give our life to the Lord, or we say we're going to fast, and we fast for a week. Let me tell you something. When you start doing stuff for the Lord and you start becoming obedient, there's an X on your back. When you get saved, you're a child of the King. But when you get saved, there's an X on your back to the devil. And guess what? He's going to start attacking you immediately. I think that Jesus was trying to show us right there that, hey, just because you get saved and just because you get baptized, it don't mean things are going to be easy. We're going to face trials. We're going to face temptation. The thing about temptation is this. Temptation in itself isn't a sin. You see, I mean, like, getting tempted is not a sin. It's when we engage in it. Or we tempt someone else. That's when it becomes a sin. Temptation's always going to be there. It's been there since the beginning of time. Temptation will always be there. It'll never going to work. Since Adam and Eve. I want us to look at Deuteronomy real quick. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. Says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land in which the Lord has swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all these ways for 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you to know what is in your heart. I think if we look and stop right there for just a moment, what was God trying to tell the children of Israel? That, you know, what happens when, you know, you go through trials and temptations? It's just a test. We're all being tested. These people in the children of Israel was being tested. It picks up and says, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, but he still fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by man they live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell for these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Temptation is a test in my mind. How will we respond? We look at these children of Israel, and you know the Lord tested these people. What did it say He did for them? He fed them. He clothed them. Can you imagine wearing the same? What if I had to wear this shirt for 40 years? You think it might have a hole in it? But for some reason, these people's clothes never wore out. Their shoes, like, their feet never swelled. They walked around in a desert, y'all, for 40 years, and their feet didn't swell. Why? Because they trusted in God. Us as Christians, no matter what happens in our life, if we go through a test or a tragedy, God loves us so much that He will take care of us as long as we what? Trust in Him. So as we learn about these things, this love and this temptation, I want to take and look at a couple positive and negative things that can happen from temptation. In James 1, I think he might have this one, 2 through 4, says, my brethren, count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that testing your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I thought that was just crazy. It says, counting all joy when we face various trials. Why? Because testing, you know, it builds patience, it says. How many of us need patience in here? Amen. I needed this morning when my son wasn't listening to me. You know what I mean? We all need patience. We all need to pray for patience. We're all going to go through trials. But the thing about trials, we can't, you know, be mad at God for them. We can grow from them, right? It says in Romans 5, 1 through 5. And I know if you're trying to flip too fast, but he has this one too. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom also we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. And not only that, but also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character and hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts and the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Two more things we learn besides patience. We learn what? Character and perseverance. So though we're going through these tests and we're going through these trials, we will learn these things if we won't get mad at God and go do our own thing. Those are some of the... I know you might be saying, why are you doing the positive things first? You know, I mean, you ever had someone ask you, you know, you want the good news, you want the bad news? You know, normally you want the bad news first sometimes, you know, but... could go either way, but I wanted to look at a couple of the positive things. The things I really want to focus on this morning are the negative things that come from temptation. Number one, if you're taking notes, is failure. Failure. How many of us have ever felt like it failed God? If you don't lift your hand, you're a liar. Because, I mean, I felt like I failed him many, many times. It says in Romans 3:23, for we've all sinned and what? Fallen short of the glory of God. We have. We've all messed up. We all fail. But there's no sin too big or too small for God. Amen. Amen. It says in Psalms 119:9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. How do we get back up? What happens when we fall down, when we fail? We need to read God's word. That's what it says in Psalms. David said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. This, y'all, is life. The word of God is life. You're struggling or you're failing or you're going through something right now. Look into his word. You wouldn't believe. I mean, this week. Thank God it snowed 2 days. I was able to prepare all this. But you wouldn't believe, you know, me telling you, you know, it's been a year and a half since I stepped up here, how you can just get away from your word. But man, I'm telling you, this week I've just stayed in it. And I've just listened to worship songs. And it's amazing what God can do when you just take heed to his word. Failure can lead to some great opportunities. I'm going to have to get a drink real quick. Bear with me, huh? I said failure can lead to some great opportunities if we learn through them. Michael Jordan, we all know who Michael Jordan is, right? I think. Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team. Did he let that stop him? No, he's the greatest basketball player in my mind of all time. Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs but struck out 1,300 times. Hank Aaron hit 755 home runs but struck out almost 1,400 times. Napoleon was 42nd in his class of 43 but led an army to conquer the world. George Washington lost 2/3 of his battles, but he won the Revolutionary War. A lot of people thought Albert Einstein was a really slow, but he turned out to be a genius. Right? Jensen Franklin wrote, it is a mistake to suppose that people succeed through success. They often succeed through failure. We often succeed through failure, y'all. So don't be so hard on yourself this morning if you feel like you've been going through something in your life. And maybe in life you were doing well and you know, you were reading your word and you were praying, you was going to church, but all of a sudden that one sin that you've been dealing with, whether it might be alcohol, it might be cussing, it might be lying, it might be pornography, it might be whatever it could be, it might be smoking. Whatever a stronghold is on your life, it says in God's word that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, there might be something that convicts me that don't convict her. But we all know what those strongholds are on our life. And you might feel like this morning you failed God, but know that He's there for you and He loves you. Amen. A couple more things I want to look at real quick. A broken heart. A broken heart. In Psalms 34:15 through 18, it says, the eyes of the Lord are the righteous, and His ears are open to hear their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out. We're the righteous, right? That's right. If you've been saved and you're a child of the King, you're considered the righteous. It says the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have what? A broken heart, and saves such of those who have a contrite spirit. God is always near. He's always, always near. What does contrite mean? When I was reading that, I was like, what could that word mean? It says a feeling or expression, a remorse affected by guilt, feeling sorry. Do you feel sorry for your sin? Do you intend to stop? If you failed God and you've got that broken heart, it says God's near to the righteous. He's there for us. But I mean, like, we've got to learn that we've got to feel sorry for our sin. We can't just keep on doing it, right? God's always near. Psalms 147:3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and what? Binds up their wounds. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without
covetous. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Right? In Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. It said in Isaiah, it said our sins were like red, they were crimson. But it said God washed them white as snow. I believe that, you know, when you look at like things that go on, you know, Daniel was talking about the world and things that happen in the world, and I was talking to him last night on the phone, and you know, we all in here, I believe, know what it means to be a Christian and saved. But is it just going to church on Sunday morning, y'all? Is that all it requires? I believe as a country, I told him last night, we've become where we've slipped away, and we've got so caught up in our busy lives, in our lifestyle. My son had baseball practice today. We find that for some reason, this day and time, sports are more important for some reason than church. I remember back in the day, you know, I mean, when I was growing up, if we'd have had a ball game on a Sunday, that was a sin, right? But nowadays, it's okay. I talked to a guy, he was my buddy that I was working with not long ago. He had a wrestling tournament the whole weekend, even on Sunday. We wonder why our country's where it is right now. We're taking God away from it. We're teaching our kids that it's okay to go play baseball on Sunday and not go to church. And we wonder why our country's falling. Used to, I remember when Benjamin Franklin, they were sitting down writing the Declaration of Independence, I think it was, and they got to a spot where they didn't know what to do. He said, let's just get down on our knees and let's just pray. And they sat there and they wrote the whole thing out. Could you imagine Barack Obama doing something like that? Now, I'm sorry if there's anyone here that's Democrats, but, I mean, come on. I mean, our country, we need to get back to keeping God first. God loves us. That's what I'm getting at. God is here for us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us, no matter what we do. But, I mean, we've got to get to a point where we keep Him first. It's not just about Sunday morning. It's so much more than that. Let Him be with you at work. Come home. Let Him guide your family. Amen? I mean, we've got to learn to do these things. No matter how much we fail God, we can always get back up. These other people did it. What was I going to say next? It says in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? I mean, it doesn't matter what happens in your life. God is for us. And He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And I don't know about y'all, but I mean, I'm at a point in my life where I just want to do whatever it takes to let God be the God of my life. Amen? I want to read y'all a story real quick out of a book that I was looking at. It's about a guy that I think I can tell it without looking at it. Kyle Alleman wrote this book, and he had a friend. His name was Scott. He said he was about 10 years older than him. And before I go on with this, you might be going through something this morning, and you might be saying, well, I don't want to change nothing today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. Well, that's what this story's about. See, Scott had knew he had a call on his life. He said back in the day, he went to high school, and before he got out of high school, I guess he was attending youth group, and he felt like God had a call on his life. But it wasn't long after God had a call on his life that he just told him, he said, look, God, I just, you know, let me get out of high school and go to college, and I'll really start trying to focus on you. He got to college and got to doing what he was doing at college, and God said, hey, you know, what are you going to do, Scott? So just let me get through college here, God, and, you know, do this, and then I'll focus on you. Scott graduated college and went on and started in his job and his career, and he heard that voice of God again saying, hey, Scott, are you ready? Scott said, no. Work's gotten real busy. We've all been there. Work's got real busy, and I don't have the time right now, God. I'm sorry. And I went on, and before you know it, God called again and said, God, I need you. I need you to do something. Come on, Scott. He said, God, I'm about to get married and I want to have children and just give me some more time. And tomorrow I'll do it. Before you knew it, Scott was married with kids. And he said him and his wife wanted to start attending church, but they just couldn't do it. I mean, it just seemed like to them they couldn't do it. And before you knew it, Scott just kept saying, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Well, I'm here to tell you that Scott finally did say yes to God and start doing what God wanted him to do. But not before he got divorced and lost his kids. Only gets to see them every other weekend. Attending AA meetings where he was caught up on alcohol. How many of us know it's during that, God, I'll do it tomorrow. It's during those times is when divorce sets in. That's when adultery sets in. That's when alcohol comes back. That's when we start doing what we shouldn't been doing. That one thing, y'all know what it is. You start doing it again, it's when you say tomorrow. Let's don't let it be tomorrow. Let's do it today. Amen? And I know this is a short sermon, and I hate to tell y'all to come back up, Randy, and y'all come back up and we'll do a closing. I know you're like, man, I'm not as long-winded as Daniel. I've had long sermons where, I've stood up here for 30, 40 minutes, and I don't think it's about how long you stand up here. I believe if God puts something on your heart, it's what's on your heart. If everybody wants to stand up. Maybe God knew I was going to be short and sweet today. Got one more scripture I want us to look at. It's in Romans also. It's in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Goes on down in Romans 8:37-39 and says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors who loved us. For I'm so persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, present things or things to come, heights, depths, no created thing shall separate us from the love of God and which is in our Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, I ain't never heard a better verse, I don't think. God loves us, y'all. What a better day to talk about it than Valentine's Day, I don't think. God is here for you this morning. And I know there's not many people here this morning. But that doesn't matter. It says where two or three are gathered, I am in the midst. I believe there's two people here. And I just couldn't get over the fact that God loves us so much that it doesn't matter what happens. No matter how many times we fail, let's let those tests that we go through, the tragedies that we go through, let's learn from them and grow from them and show people our character, our patience, our perseverance. I know people that were on fire for God one time in their life. I grew up with them. And I think they kept saying tomorrow. I look at them now and it just breaks my heart. You know that they just kept saying tomorrow and now they're out there and they're lost. These people were on fire for God. But they just kept putting Him on the back burner. Let me tell you what happens when you put God on the back burner. Your heart becomes calloused, becomes scabbed over, and before you know it, you're so far gone that you don't know where to go, and that's when that guilt sets in. You're like, there's no way that I can go through those doors. There's no way. God loves you, and if you're here this morning, and you step back into those things. I led youth ministry over at the Ridge for, I guess, 2.5 years, and every now and then I hear some of the things that some of them's going through now, and it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. God loves us so much. Y'all, I know this life's hard. And it's tough. But if we'll just let God love on us this morning, He'll be there for you. And if you don't, and you keep being like Scott, and you say tomorrow, says in Romans 6:23, this is our last scripture. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Amen?
Amen.
The gift of God is eternal life. Y'all, one day judgment's coming. And I know our churches nowadays, they've got away from that. They've got away from preaching conviction. And listen, one day the coming judgment's coming. It says it'll happen in a twinkling of an eye, like a thief in the night. We won't know when it comes, but it's going to come. It might come in just a minute. It might come 100 years from now. I know they've been saying it since Jesus left. He's coming back. But y'all, He is coming back. And we got to be ready. And He loves us. And we got to quit saying tomorrow, 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 today. We're not promised tomorrow. Let's bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You so much. I pray, God, if there's anybody in here, God, that... God, I'm not saying they ain't a Christian. We all go through stuff. It says Jesus Himself faced temptation. Right when He got baptized, He faced temptation immediately. Let those people that are here this morning know that, God, You love them. No matter how many times they failed You, and no matter how many times they step back into that sin, God, that You're here for them, God, this morning. Lord, we pray, God, You just break their heart, God, and just let them know that You love them. We just pray, God, that You just be with us, God. Let Your Holy Spirit move. It's in Your name I pray. Amen.